You're listening to Bachelor to Boyfriend, the podcast that teaches you how to manage your mind so you can show up as the best version of yourself around women. And now your host, certified dating and intimacy coach for men, Erica Davian.
Hi, welcome back. So today is all about boundaries. I think we all have been there where we've seen relationship dynamics that we don't want. And some part of us wonders if we'll ever be in that same position. If you notice yourself holding back because you're afraid of getting yourself into a situation or a relationship that you don't really want to be in, then this is for you. We are going to get really clear about what boundaries are so that you can use them with ease and with less drama in your dating life. And even if you're someone who thinks that they already know what boundaries are and how to use them, it's still worth listening in. I thought I knew. And then one of my teachers broke it down for me in a way that made it so clear and so effortless, and that is guaranteed to work 100% of the time. What? 100% of the time? Yes, really. So stick around. I'm going to lay it all out for you. So I'm bringing this up because I think we have all had our fair share of seeing what we don't want in a relationship, often portrayed by the adults around us when we were growing up. It's often those same relationships that didn't model healthy boundaries. That's how they got to the point that they got to. And so we don't even see that it's possible to create a life where a relationship that is manipulative, passive-aggressive, abusive, or unsatisfying just doesn't fit. And what I want to show you today is how boundaries can help you guarantee that even if you do find yourself in a situation or a relationship that isn't working for you, then you know how you can get yourself out of it. You know how you can take care of yourself anyway. So I just want to start off by saying that I think boundaries often get a bad rap. And I want you to understand that boundaries are not about being closed off or defensive, but rather about being clear and intentional about what you will and will not accept. Having healthy boundaries can actually lead to deeper connections and more fulfilling relationships. It doesn't have to be harsh or unloving. In fact, it can be just the opposite. Having clear boundaries can sometimes be the most loving thing that you can do for someone, and it can be freeing for both people. I think sometimes we avoid setting or stating our boundaries because we're afraid of hurting the relationship, and yet we forget or we don't acknowledge that what is happening already is hurting the relationship. That's why you feel like you want to set a boundary. So it's important to have that in mind. So here are a few examples that might be times when you'd consider making a boundary. Maybe the woman you're seeing regularly shows up 15 minutes late. Or your mother has a tendency to show up on your doorstep unannounced, and maybe you really don't like that. Or maybe a friend of yours asks to borrow your car and then returns it dirty. And he's borrowed other things before and not taken care of them. I'm not saying that you should have a boundary in each of these examples, but that these are the kinds of things where someone might consider setting one. So you've probably heard it before, because in the mainstream way of thinking about boundaries, people talk about boundaries as needing someone else's behavior to change. I know this is how I learned initially what boundaries were, and I would say it to the people in my life, to my boyfriend or to a family member. I would say things like, you can't talk to me that way, or you have to take care of my car, in an effort to get them to change their behavior. Or it's also pretty mainstream to just not say anything at all and instead feel silently hurt or silently resentful about it. And that's not what we're talking about here. Thinking of boundaries in that way doesn't work, because it relies on the other person to change, which you have no control over. We're going to come back to each of these and talk about how exactly you might want to respond to them. But first, there are a few key things that you need to understand before we talk about how to set boundaries in this slightly different, but really powerful and very simple way that will work for you every time. So we break this down more in the Bachelor to Boyfriend program, but here's a quick overview. So number one, people get to do what they want. And by the way, there's nothing you have to do either. So it's not about changing someone else's behavior. It's about changing your own. Ultimately, the other adults in your life are acting on their own free will. You cannot get into their minds and bodies and control them. Like, they get to show up the way that they want to. And the same is true for you. Number two, before setting a boundary, you might want to consider making a request first. Now, sometimes this isn't possible or even appropriate. Like, let's say you're in a very dangerous situation, you just have to take care of yourself and respond. What I'm talking about here, those sort of daily relationship interactions with your mother, with your friend, with the woman that you're dating. And so a request can look like, I don't like it when you leave the TV running all day. Would you mind turning it off when you're not watching it? You can ask that for sure. But again, go back to point number one, you can't control their behavior. They get to do what they want. But sometimes it doesn't hurt to just make it known what your preferences are and to ask it in the first place. The third understanding is to, regardless of whether or not you made a request, is to consider how important this thing really is to you and how much of this is just about how you think the world should be. So for example, in that TV example, just leaving it running all day, let's say that you make that request and the person you were asking it of doesn't want to turn off the TV. Well, then you get to decide how important this is to you. Is it possible that you could just tune that out in the background or that you could put in earplugs or something else? And how much of this is about how you think the world ought to be, that people shouldn't leave the, you know, the weather channel on all day, for example. And then number four is, if you decide to set a boundary, the other understanding is to know that it doesn't have to be spoken every time. So sometimes we have unspoken boundaries. We don't have to tell other people. So for example, if somebody were to try to hurt my child, I would stop. I don't need to state that to the world. We don't go to the grocery store together and I have to tell everybody there, okay, by the way, if you try to hurt my child, I'm going to smack you. I don't have to say any of that. That's just unspoken. But as a general rule, we tend to speak our boundaries more the more intimate the relationship is. Or even if that's not, if that hasn't been your habit so far, that tends to be a pretty good rule of thumb, is that the more intimate this relationship is, that we shouldn't expect our partners or our closest friends to read our minds. No, we can trust that that relationship is strong enough that we can speak this boundary out loud. So with these understandings that people get to do what they want, to consider making a request first before setting a boundary, you don't need to make boundaries like walls that you're setting up all around yourself. Instead, make that request first. Ask yourself how important this thing really is to you. And then consider whether this is a boundary that you just want to keep on the inside, knowing that it's true for yourself, or whether this is important for the sake of the relationship that you're talking about to speak this boundary out loud and to actually have a conversation about it. Okay. So with those things in mind, here is how I want you to think about making a boundary. We've already said that it's not about making the other person change their behavior. That you have zero control over. You can stop trying. Any effort that you put towards that is just wasted energy and effort, because humans are going to be humans. They're going to do what they do. Instead, I want you to think of this like unsafe driving. So imagine you're in your car driving down the highway and someone else is driving their car and they're swerving all over the place. They're changing lanes unexpectedly. They're cutting you off. They're driving too close. In this situation, what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. Let's start there. You don't try to make a high-speed break into their car and get behind the wheel and slow them down, right? No, of course not. Instead, you change the things that you can do. Maybe you get off at the next exit, or you speed up to get ahead of them, or maybe you slow down so that you have more distance between your car and theirs so that you have more time to react to some wild move they make on the road. You drive on the defensive, or maybe you ask your passenger to call the state trooper or an unsafe driving hotline. My point is, you don't fix this situation by changing their behavior, by driving their car. You can't control them. Instead, you change yours. You take care of you. And the same is true in relationships. The reason why our common way of thinking of boundaries doesn't work is because we're so focused on changing the unwanted behavior in someone else, and we're out of luck when that person doesn't change their behavior after all. When we can focus on what we will do in a given situation, then we take all the control back into our own hands. There's no way for the boundary to not work because we're doing what we need to take care of ourselves. So to put this into super simple, practical terms, this is the script that my teacher, Brooke Castillo, taught me to use with boundaries. Ready? It's so simple, but so powerful. If you blank, then I will blank. So for example, if you call me after 10 p.m. on a weeknight, I will not answer the phone. If you cut me off in traffic, I will slow down to keep myself safe. If you yell at me, I will hang up the phone. If you don't return the money I lent you by Friday, I will file for small claims court. Notice the neutral way I said each of these. Boundaries don't have to be aggressive or fueled by anger or resentment. They can be very matter of fact. I have a boundary with my clients, which is if we're having a one-on-one call and you're not on the call within the first 10 minutes of when we scheduled, then I will log off and consider it a late cancellation. I don't get upset. I don't blame them for wasting my time. I also don't bend over backwards to accommodate their tardiness or lack of planning. I don't make it mean anything. I just move on with my day. I take a stretch break. I respond to an email. It's just like 2 + 3 = 5. This is just what's going to happen. And the beautiful thing is that by upholding this boundary, all my clients take our time together really seriously. No matter how busy their lives are, they make time for the important work that we do together. They show up for themselves. I don't have to hold them accountable. They are grown men, and they hold themselves accountable because I've made really clear what my boundary is, and then it's up to them to decide how they want to respond to that. Just in the same way that I get to decide how I respond to their behavior. So let's bring back those examples from earlier in the show and just briefly walk through each. Knowing the four understandings and having that really simple script of, if you blank, then I will blank. This is what I will do to take care of me. I don't need you to take care of me. I will take care of me. So let's say that the woman you're seeing regularly shows up 15 minutes late. You can't control her behavior. You could try making a request. You could point it out and say, hey, I noticed you were late today and you were late last week too. Could you try to meet me at the time we agreed next time? And maybe you ask this and she says, yeah, okay, I'll try. But she still doesn't show up on time. Well, then in that case, you get to ask yourself how big of a deal this really is for you. Being on time or being late is not an inherently good or bad thing. It's not inherently disrespectful because plenty of cultures around the world value promptness and others can show up hours after the agreed upon time and it's still okay. Lateness in and of itself isn't a bad thing. It's just up to you how you want to respond to that. So you could say, for example, if you're more than 10 minutes late, then I will consider our date canceled. Or you could just as easily say, if you're more than 10 minutes late, then I'll be really glad that I brought a book. it's up to you to decide how important that is for you and how you want to respond. But aside from making a request, you can't change or control her behavior. And the same goes for your mother, in that example, who had a tendency of showing up on your doorstep unannounced, which you really didn't like. Maybe somebody would like that, but in this example, you don't like it. You can't stop her from doing this. She can do what she wants. The part you get to control is how you respond. You get to say, if you show up on my doorstep without us having a plan, I will fill in the blank. I won't open the door. I will file for a restraining order. I will put in earbuds and pretend I didn't hear it. I will go out the back door. You get to decide how you want to respond and what feels appropriate for you in that relationship. But of course, you may want to start with a request first. The point is, you don't need her to change her behavior in order to take care of yourself. You can take care of you regardless of what she does. She can be out there on that front doorstep and you can decide how you want to respond. Or that example of that friend of yours who's borrowed things before and not taken care of them. You can, again, start with a request, but if he doesn't adhere to it, then you can make it known that if he returns something again, not cared for, that you're not going to lend him things anymore. If this way of relating to others is new for you, it may feel uncomfortable at first. That discomfort is not a sign that you shouldn't do it. It's just that it's a new way of showing up in your life. It's sort of like when you buy a new pair of shoes that aren't broken in yet. They're not bad shoes. It's just that your feet and the shoes haven't adjusted to each other fully yet. I've also heard some of you say that you're concerned to set boundaries because you're worried that you might drive a good relationship or a potential partner away. But if you do it in the way that I've outlined, in most cases, the opposite will happen. Setting boundaries in dating is like building a fence around your garden. It's like the fence keeps out unwanted weeds and pests, and the healthy plants inside get to grow and thrive. Setting boundaries in dating helps you figure out which relationships and behaviors really aren't working for you, while allowing the healthy connections to grow and flourish. Once you master using boundaries in this way, you're going to save yourself a lot of unnecessary drama. You get to stop doing the impossible task of controlling other people and instead focus on taking care of you. This frees up so much energy. You'll feel optimistic about the future because you know that you will not settle for less than is acceptable to you. You might decide to change what's acceptable to you. Like in that example with the woman showing up 15 minutes late, maybe you decide, actually, I like her. It's not that big of a deal. I'm willing to accept that she's just never on time and I'm going to bring a book or I'm going to listen to this podcast. And when you really start to use boundaries in this way, you will take the blaming and shaming patterns out of your relationships. You'll feel less resentment because you know that you're always free to change your part in what is happening. Having healthy boundaries in dating can lead to more fulfilling and more satisfying relationships. It can help you to attract partners who align with your values and goals and help you avoid wasting time and energy on relationships that were never a good fit in the first place. My invitation to you is to start thinking about your own boundaries in dating. What are your true non-negotiables? What are your deal breakers? Take some time to reflect on those questions and write them down if it helps. And be sure, before you move on to something else, be sure to write down that super simple script for boundaries that helps you stay focused on how you will respond if a behavior persists. Remember, it is simply, if you blank, then I will blank. Remember, the focus is on taking care of you. Of course, everything I shared is maybe easier said than done. And so just know that I am here and can give you one-on-one support in the Bachelor to Boyfriend program, where we go into topics like boundaries and so much more. I would be thrilled to help you take your dating and approach to relationships to the next level. I'll talk to you soon. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, you have to come check out Bachelor to Boyfriend, the program. It's 12 weeks of one-on-one coaching with yours truly to help you finally move past the internal barriers between you and the relationship you want to create. Check it out at ericadavian.com. That's Erica with a K. And if you're curious, make sure to get your name on my mailing list so I can tell you next time doors open. My newsletter is my favorite way to connect with you all, and I respond to every email I receive. I can't wait to see you there.